The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And it's Thursday. Welcome in on what we think is going to be a pretty entertaining show. Brian Kelly coming up here in just a couple of minutes, days before LSU has its spring game. We have two spring games this weekend, but we start with a different sport. And so much going on. And I'm sure by now you've all heard about this story. We're talking about a record-breaking performance last weekend in the NCAA Gymnastic Championship. Trinity Thomas, a longtime All-American from York, Pennsylvania, did it again. Not only in the SEC meet, which she had a couple of perfect, but she saved the best for last in the NCAA Championship. Another perfect 10. We've quit counting, although we've figured out we have 28 in all. Trinity, congratulations. I would imagine there has been some great weeks in your life, but the celebration and the congratulations, I'm sure, are continuing. Let us offer ours, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, and yes, thank you for having me.
I feel imperfect already talking to someone who's been perfect so often, and I know that that's what you work for and that's what everyone works for, but when you can do what you did in the biggest stage in the sport on the collegiate level, cliche question, but what did it feel like?
It honestly felt absolutely incredible. I knew I was obviously closing out my career, so that was going to be my last nationals. That was going to be my last vault. So it felt absolutely incredible to go in and stick that ball the way that I did. And obviously the outcome was great. I got a 10, so I'm super happy with that.
I'm just asking questions about a sport I must admit I'm a fan of, but I couldn't begin to, nor could most people begin to do what you ladies do. But as you're close to the end of it, do you feel like, okay, I've nailed this one. This is going to be it. What's going on as so many things are happening?
Yes, so obviously a lot of things were happening. I hadn't done many vaults because I had injured myself at regionals. So I really had to rely on all of my previous training. So I was standing at the end of that vault runway and I was like telling myself all of my positive affirmations and just telling myself that I got this and to lean on my training and that I do and to just stay calm and be me.
Trini, every sport is challenged when you're coming off of an injury, but I can't think of a sport where it would play a bigger factor than this because so many things are happening. And how do you mentally, and then I'll ask you, and then physically deal with an injury at the most inopportune time?
Yes, so obviously that timing was super unfortunate, but luckily here at Florida, I have a family and I have all the treatment in the world. So I was able to get right into treatment, get to PT, work with my trainers, with the doctors, with everybody to get my leg feeling better as fast as possible. And unfortunately that was only for two events. Couldn't get back out there on all four, but I was just happy to be out there with my team one last time regardless.
We went over some of the records that you've had and have. They're endless. I know gymnasts are individual, they're teams. There's so many things that you have to think about. But is the goal, I sense it probably is it perfection or just doing what you're trained to do and trying to nail it as you come down?
Yeah, so the goal is obviously to get the highest score that you can get, and that's a perfect 10. And honestly, I have to think about things one thing at a time. If you get ahead of yourself, it's really hard to do your best. And so for me, I just tell myself to do what I do every single day in the gym and to trust my training. And luckily, I've had a lot of luck with that. So just blessed to be able to do what I do. And it was an incredible career.
I realize, and again, these questions do sound silly because there's some things I can relate to, but I mean, I can barely walk and chew gum, let alone do what you young ladies do. But as you're getting ready to begin, can you kind of let us lay people know what's going through your mind? Because I'm just fascinated by the checklist that must be going on and all the things that are happening.
Yes. Yeah, so as I mentioned already, I have a lot of positive affirmations that I say. And so when I stand up there and it's about time for me to raise my hand, even after I present to the judges, I'm just like telling myself, I got this, you know this. And then my little saying is, God's got you, you've got this. So I tell myself that too. And I take a deep breath and I just tell myself to trust myself and that I can do it.
You come from an athletic family. I know some of your siblings are athletes. Your dad was a pretty well-known player in Pennsylvania. When you grew up, were you destined to be an athlete? How did that happen?
So many sports. I did swimming. I cheered for a little bit. Once I started gymnastics, it was like pretty much my life. That was the one that I loved most. And honestly, I didn't think I had much time outside of that. And so I was always running around with my sisters, whether I was bike riding, we were playing tag in the neighborhood, shooting hoops, like anything. And so we were always having fun. We were always active and playing around. So that was definitely something that was just normal for me and my family.
It hit at some point, and for those who don't understand the elite level of gymnastics, this is not just something you do as a hobby. I mean, you really do have to spend an enormous amount of time. So I'm curious, what was there someone that you followed, that you saw, that inspired you, or was it just the intriguing aspect and the excitement of the sport?
Honestly, at the beginning, it was just the excitement of the sport. I didn't watch the Olympics, I don't think, until the 2012 Olympics. And I watched college gymnastics a little bit before that. So I actually knew I wanted to come and be a collegiate athlete before I watched the Olympics or ever knew that was even a thing either. And so I knew from the start that I wanted to be an athlete. And once I started gymnastics, that was my sport. And I knew that I wanted to do that in college. And luckily, here we are today, finishing my collegiate career out.
Trini, you mentioned the Olympics, and you missed the last ones because of injury, and I'm sure everyone's already asked you this question, so I'll be the last. What about the next one? Where are you on that?
Yeah, I haven't made any decisions about that, and I'm just right now I'm focused on finishing up school. I graduate in May, and just trying to figure out what next looks like for me. So just taking it one step at a time, still working on rehab for my calf and things like that. So just getting back and back to 100%. So
Trini, finally, I've been to meets, and probably one of the most enjoyable parts of it is watching the young people look up and see people like you and as their heroes. What are your thoughts on the sport, how it has grown, and really what, even in your very young life, what has happened to gymnastics, especially on this level?
Yes, it's grown so much. And now there are so many Olympians in college right now that I've competed with, and you didn't see that before as much. And so just to see the sport continue to grow and so many little girls are watching, we brought in so many fans this year, broke records with fans in the O-Dome. So just to see the fan base growing, see the joy and the happiness within the sport growing, and just seeing all those little girls start gymnastics and be excited about it and want to be right where we are now one day is super special. And I hope to continue to see gymnastics grow over the next years to come.
Trini, everybody has a favorite number. Something tells me yours is 10 because you've seen that number so many times in meets. Congratulations, and wherever this takes you, we are pulling for you and so proud. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you so much.
What an absolute pleasure it was to talk to Trinity. That's just the beginning. We have other champions as well. What about Brian Kelly? He'd like to get 10 wins or more this year. Speaking of the perfect 10, perfect record would be more like 15. We'll talk to him in a couple of minutes, Pete Futak, on the upcoming college football season. And Bill Connelly from ESPN, maybe we'll try to explain how FPI ranks Alabama over Georgia. He'll act like he doesn't know anything about it, but don't believe him. He'll be with us later.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So LSU will hold its big game on Saturday, one of two, and Brian Kelly joining us in just a few minutes. Futag joins us. He makes a prediction for every game in the season, and I took a peek earlier, and these are his win-loss totals, but he's already called an upset, major upset, in the SEC, in the SEC East. I'll let you figure out which one it is a little bit later. So will the SEC's new scheduling format break Georgia and Alabama's stranglehold? That is the question. We'll have the answers. Remember Bo Nix? He's playing his 19th year of college football. I remember when he signed with Auburn in 2003. Actually, he's having fun. He's at Oregon. I'm just kidding, Bo. We love you. Don't complain. And let's get to the calls. And who better to start with than Andre in the ATL? Hello, Andre. How are you?
Coach Feinbaum, what a great interview. You are the Edward R. Murrow of Sports Talk interviews, Coach.
Well, what a compliment. You know, that was one of my dad's favorite commentators back in the day.
I was waiting on you to sign off like the old John Brinkman. That's the way it is. Yeah. You know, that's been probably 50 years ago.
Edward R. Murrow's big line was he was the London correspondent during World War II, and he would begin every broadcast by you would hear the bombs falling, and he would say, "This is London." I mean, he would like take 10 seconds to say that as you hear explosions.
Coach, look, when you get Coach Kelly on there, ask him about Bear Alexander. Maybe we could get him on the campus down in Baton Rouge, Coach.
But, what else do you want me to ask him? I rarely get a chance to have an LSU Tiger help me prepare for the interview.
Well, ask him how does he like Baton Rouge compared to South Bend.
Well, I mean, Andre, that would be like asking, how do you like Honolulu compared to winters in Moscow?
Right. But listen, Coach, I don't get to call in as much as I like to, but I listen to you just about every day. And, you know, some of the verbal judo you get in with some of these guys, it's hilarious. But as always, Coach Feinbaum, great interview, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Andre. It's always a pleasure. You be well. You take care of yourself. John in Louisville is up next. Hello, John.
Hey, great to hear from Andre. I hadn't heard his voice in a little while, and that was a great interview with the young lady. She shows grace inside and outside the gym. By the way, Handsome Joe, good to hear from him again. I do wish him the very best on his follow-up appointment.
Yeah, he was going through a few medical issues, which it seems like some of the other callers are going through. They're just not admitting it.
Hey, you know, I think Larry is on the wagon. That may be why he's such a curmudgeon lately. By the way, Paul, whatever happened to Andrew of Atlanta? Remember the big bettor? I know they don't brag when they lose.
Yeah,
but
the one about, I think it was Jordan Spieth at number 12 at Augusta.
$8,000.
Yeah, he's last check. He is at the bottom of Race Creek.
Or Chattanooga. Yeah, Chattanooga River, right. And before I get the FBI, quick note on Sam Hartman. I thought he'd be good for Florida because they're desperate, but reference to what Legend said, he made his mark in, I think it was, what, Wake Forest or North Carolina State?
He was in at Wake.
In a quick tempo, no-huddle offense. I don't think he'd do well over in Alabama with a pro style. So the FBI, you know, if you condense it, Cliff Notes, it's basically the past production numbers of the players, be it recruited or transferring in, and who they're going to be playing. So you would expect Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia to be at the top. What disappointed me with Alabama is they've had a one or two, and I love Alabama, they've had a one or two class the last several years. They poached five starters last year, plus two from the year before. I fully expected them to win it all. So I look at the FPI as kind of, this is what a coach should be accomplishing. But, you know, Saban fell short. Ryan Day fell short. Somebody like Harbaugh averages maybe a ninth best recruiting class. He exceeded expectations.
John, thank you. Appreciate it. Dustin is up next in Tulsa. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I had a question I wanted to ask you yesterday and kind of got lost in the middle of all Matt's foolishness. I really like the outfit that you wore yesterday, especially those frames, man, those clear
light gray or whatever. I know what you're talking about.
That jacket, the combo is really slick. I like neutrals, but the glasses, what frames are those? Are they Ray-Bans or something?
I don't know. I do remember where I got them in New York when I used to work up there. So I can get the specific frame for you if you give me a day.
I really like those. They look good. I'm in the market for a new pair. I've got to get a pair of new frames. So I thought maybe I'll try to, you know, step on Feinbaum.
By the way, I think those things are pretty easy to find. I've been in optical shops, and that's a fairly common. Not that I'm in the optometric business, but those are not difficult to find. You don't have to, you know, go to Milan to find that frame.
Well, that's good because I don't plan on going to Milan. A little bit of sad news here. Yesterday, Jim, he blocked me on Twitter. So my world is crumbling here. I need a little bit of emotional support.
Dustin, I have one day on the show we're going to do, because I've had some sports writers block me. Can you believe that?
If they write for the Big Ten, yes, I can.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that someone in the media that writes an opinion piece would block someone in the same industry is I only found out the other day. I saw something on Twitter and I pressed it and the guy says he blocks you. Am I going really? I've had athletes block me before, but never a fellow sports journalist. Hey, Dustin, thanks for the call. Speaking of someone who is not blocked ever here, and that's Brian Kelly, the LSU coach with his second spring game on the Bayou coming up here in just a moment.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And now a new chapter to be written in the grand history of the Tigers.
LSU, a lot to be proud of from this season.
Ball source of time. He floats into the near side corner of the end zone. The pass is caught at the two and into the end zone. Touchdown, LSU.
The boot is going back to Baton Rouge. LSU will clinch the SEC West.
And we were watching a minute ago the big moment from last year's LSU season, and there were many. The two-point conversion that beat Alabama in Tiger Stadium. LSU spring game Saturday. We're always excited to have Coach Brian Kelly joining us. Coach, thanks so much. I know you've probably seen that a few times, but when you see the win over Alabama, I'm just curious. I guess you can't see that too much, can you?
Certainly was a big moment in the year. You know, it's so difficult to beat Nick Saban football teams. You have to play, you know, virtually perfect in so many ways. You know, you got to play mistake free, but you have to execute at a high level. And so I think what's rewarding, Paul, more than anything else, is that your football team, you know, executed at a high level when they needed to.
I always talk to, when I see young coaches and they get off to a surprisingly good start, that maybe they did too much. I'm not going to say that to you because you've had such an amazing career, but you have certainly raised expectations in Baton Rouge with the appearance in Atlanta, the double-digit wins, the tremendous bowl victory. How do you process all that as you get ready for Saturday and obviously your second season?
Well, I think I came here with high expectations. You know, I mean, it's certainly a program where it's won national championships. I think the fan base, I think the national perspective of LSU is that you're here to win. And so I don't know that that really changed much. Look, year two, I wasn't going to be given the opportunity to – you know, muck it around, right?
No, so, you weren't.
You know, so it's what we expect. It's, you know, play really good football, have your team prepared, recruit well, do it the right way. And, you know, good things are going to happen. This is the SEC, and you better be ready to play each and every week. There's no, you know, let's give them a couple of years and, you know, say, you know, we'll chalk it up to, you know, you didn't have enough players. So, you know, we've had to use the transfer portal. We've had to, you know, accelerate the growth of true freshmen and play them. That's just the way it is. It's big boy football here in the SEC. And we've got to do it consistently. We are not in that league yet. You know, the Alabamas, the Georgias, they are. And that really is the mark. And 1 year is, what have you done for me lately? We've got to be able to do this consistently.
When you talk about that, and what we're talking about is management of rosters and talent, and that does take time. When you look at what you currently have, and I know it's not fair maybe to compare and contrast, but Georgia and Alabama have had just an endless stream of top five recruiting classes. Is the gap that large? I mean, it doesn't look like it with a record, but you understand it better than I do.
There's a gap there. You know, when you're taking 10, 11, 12 transfers from the portal, that's a red flag. You need to be developing your players. You need to be doing it through freshmen that are in your program, developing the process, and certainly we're not there yet. We're going to get there. We didn't take a lot of transfers on the offensive side of the ball because we're further along offensively, quite frankly. Defensively, we still have a ways to go in terms of recruiting and developing our players. Now, having said that, I like what we've done in the transfer portal. We've been very strategic. We've taken kids that have identified LSU as, in some instances, their dream school, but weren't recruited by LSU. So I think that's helped us in a lot of ways. And then having success last year has been, you know, really good because we've been able to, you know, obviously upgrade some of the players on the defensive side of the ball because they want to play here at LSU.
On that subject, Coach Kelly, when you have a lot of big moments, and you, certainly the win over Alabama was standalone, but it wasn't the only one. How does that trickle down to recruiting and getting awareness? And it's already a top 10 program, but how does that move the needle to get players into your program?
Well, look, we live in the society that everybody wants it now, right? You know, they look at their time at a particular program based upon 3 years and they're going to the NFL. So they want to know that if they choose a particular school that they can win a national championship. So they're measuring you by, you know, can you beat Georgia? Can you beat Alabama? Can you beat the top teams, you know, in the country? And so, you know, there's more believability if you do that. You know, certainly, you know, we have to be better. But there's enough believability there that with what we've done in the past and, you know, playing some young players and knowing that we're going to get better, having an incumbent quarterback that was making great progress during the year, all of those things together, Paul, I think, you know, gives us the opportunity to be able to sell. You've got a chance to win a national championship here.
I want to talk about the offense first because everyone can't wait to see Jaden Daniels this weekend. Nussmeier's having another good spring. So how do you characterize or describe what you have at the quarterback position?
Two starters. Both of them can win in the SEC. Both of them can play at the highest level. We're blessed and fortunate. You know as well as anybody how difficult it is to have to. And, you know, I think that it's important that we continue to work both of them this Saturday with the first unit. Look, there's a big difference between the ones and the twos for us right now on the offensive line, just because of injuries and young players. So, you know, Garrett will get an opportunity to play with the first as well. So keeping them both sharp, keeping them both in a rhythm will be important for us in this spring game.
Coach, you mentioned the defense, and I think it was the Arkansas game that the whole country just stopped to watch Harold Perkins. It wasn't the only game that he starred in as such a young player, but your thoughts on what he did and what he's capable of the rest of his career?
Yeah, I'm excited about, you know, what Matt House has been able to do with him even this spring. We've put him in a position now where I think we kind of drew some things up on the sand for him last year, you know, just to utilize, you know, a young player that is so gifted. And now he is in a structured situation relative to, you know, playing a particular position, the will linebacker position. But we can do a lot of things with him. So I think his growth relative to a football player, recognizing what we can do now with a guy that is going to be playing that position, it's going to be fun and it's going to be exciting.
Coach, I know it's almost become a cliche to ask head coaches like you about where we are, but it just seems like nobody knows where we are anymore with NIL and the portal and all these things that keep happening. After a year in the SEC, after a long and storied career at Notre Dame, how would you describe the current status of college football?
Well, I think the game itself is as good as it's ever been. I think the popularity, I think certainly, you know, we're moving towards, you know, 2024 with an expanded playoff, which is going to bring even more excitement, I think, to the game. The SEC is going to be welcoming in, you know, two great programs in Oklahoma and Texas. You know, from that perspective, the competition continues to get better and better. That is amazing. The other things that are influencing college football, we have to manage. Certainly NIL, the transfer portal, I think that they're on the horizon. There are going to be some things that are going to allow us to, you know, mitigate some of the concerns that are out there. And most of the concerns are inducements and third party involvement. But I think everybody is, look, we have to adapt, we have to adjust. And I think everybody is doing their best to do so. Each state is figuring out how they can, you know, put legislation in so they can work with the student athletes, educate the student athletes. Look, I'm educating our fan base on a day-to-day basis. So go to work, educate, make sure that during this time, before we get to a better place, that we're all trying to create the best end result, because college football is in such a healthy place right now.
Finally, Coach, you're someone who's been at places a long time, so you're not a guy that's changing jobs every couple of years. So I ask you that to ask you about the last year, year and a half of your life. And I know there's never a normalcy as a head football coach at your level, but is it any more normal today than a year ago when you were still trying to figure out where everything was and how to get this football program back?
Yeah, there's a better routine, certainly for me and my family, and, you know, a comfort level that we know, you know, what that looks like on a day-to-day basis. You know, we've settled into the community, and that's really comforting, that, you know, things from a family standpoint are settling, our family's doing well. And so I think when you go home at the end of the day and you have that and you have that structure, that feels really, really good.
Coach, it's always great to see you. It's such a pleasure, and all the best this weekend, and we hope to see you very soon. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Coach Brian Kelly, just so great to be able to visit with him occasionally, and what an impact he has made on LSU and the SEC. We take a break. Your reaction to that, your phone calls, right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
We are off and running. A couple of fantastic opening guests, including the coach. Let's get to your phone calls here. And Ken starts it off. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a couple questions, Paul. I enjoyed the interview with Brian there. Do you think he was honest?
Honest about what?
Well, about the whole situation. Let me put it this way. When he said, but we're not there yet, what do you think about that, Paul?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that he's referring to Georgia and Alabama. He was clear. He said there is a, I think the most important thing he said was there is a gap between LSU and Georgia and Alabama. Yeah. And all that means is roster.
The other question I have for you, the other question, Paul, is this. Why is it you keep thinking we need a quarterback at Alabama?
Because I think you don't have one.
Well, I want you to mark this down. I want you to mark this call down today, Paul. I will assure you that Alabama's quarterback will be he will be up there as a Heisman next year.
And Ken, I will mark that down, and I'm most excited to hear what you base that on.
Okay, well, here's the thing. We've got two new coaches on there. In fact, we got some new coordinators also.
Okay.
But I believe with the coaching we got, with the talent we have, I think we're going to have an offense and a defense this year that is going to be unbelievable. I really do. Now, I don't say that just to be saying it.
Well, Ken, I have to stop you, and I'm not being disrespectful, but you just made a statement that I don't understand. You said one of those two guys is going to be a Heisman candidate. We got two new coaches, and we're going to have an offense and a defense that's unbelievable. I mean, I don't doubt that Alabama has enormous talent. I mean, you just heard Brian Kelly say that, but I don't understand. Since you don't even know who your quarterback's going to be. I mean, you sound like just some fan who's being a fan, which is fine.
I know Melro will be the coach. I mean, the player.
Okay, so tell me what you're so impressed with about Jalen Milroe that makes you think he's going to be a Heisman candidate.
First of all, he's got an arm like nobody else.
Okay.
You believe that. Whether you don't think so or not.
And what does that mean in college football?
Well, it means he can put that ball where he needs to put it. That's what it means.
Oh, okay.
He's got receivers that Ja'Cory Brooks, Bonds. Yeah. I can go on and on.
Well, I wish you would, because I haven't heard one yet that I'm impressed with.
Well, you may not be impressed now, Paul, but come this fall, you will be impressed. I'm here to tell you. I'm not joking.
I appreciate you being here to tell me, but you haven't given me a single reason other than they play at Alabama.
Okay, I got you, Paul. I appreciate you being honest with me, but this is just the way I feel. Now, I'm not putting Brian Kelly down, because I'm going to tell you, I really think Brian Kelly's a great coach. I really do. I think he's smart.
Ken, do you realize that Brian Kelly has two quarterbacks better than Alabama's? Any quarterback?
No, I don't think either one of them. Jaden Daniels, I do not think is better than Melrose. I don't. I really don't. Now, you can say, you don't have the right to base that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you have every right to say whatever you want. Ken, a couple of quick questions here before you go. You live in Alabama, right?
Yes, sir.
And how long have you been an Alabama fan?
Well, I've been out. My daughter goes to LSU, graduated, by the way.
I didn't ask you where your daughter went. I said, how long have you been an Alabama fan?
Okay, all my life, Paul.
Have you felt like this about every Alabama quarterback, or are these two special?
No, quite frankly, last year, even with Bryce Young at quarterback, I thought we had a bad team.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
You're confident. Let me make sure I get this right before somebody comes in. You are more confident in Jalen Milroe than Bryce Young. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I didn't say that. What I said was we had a bad team last year. We didn't have one person who could catch the football last year, who could run a route last year. We didn't have it.
You had a first rounder in the backfield in Gibbs. You may not have had an elite wide receiver, but you had a couple that were capable.
We did not.
Who are your elite wide receivers? You mentioned Ja'Cory Brooks.
Well,
is that right?
Ja'Cory Brooks will be showing you things this year. Isaiah Bonds will be showing you.
Ken, just out of curiosity, because I lived in Alabama a long time, but I haven't lived there lately. Where do you ascertain information like you're disseminating to us right now?
Paul, I watch everything I can watch about Alabama.
Ken, stop. What have you seen that gives you these feelings? Because I haven't really seen much other than Milroe last year.
Well, here's what I've seen where our coaching has changed. Listen, that guy we had a defense last year, Golden, he was absolutely a joke. He was a joke.
Okay.
I'm
not being disrespectful. I just wanted the information. Maybe you got some secret source that I don't have. Jim is next.
I wasn't going to call today because he pissed me off yesterday. But let me tell you something right now. If you keep talking to fools like that man, you will really lose your show. That man is a complete idiot. You know it. I think he's a racist, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. But Milroe, I said I'm not going to talk ball, and I don't. I'm not going to, but don't talk to fools, Paul. You run in the show. We don't want to hear some idiot like that guy. He's a complete idiot, and you know it. And you don't need to talk to a guy like that. You might as well talk to a grandmother that sitting on the porch looking at the flowers. I mean, I'm not putting grandmothers down, but you know what I'm trying
Seems
to
like
say.
You were.
You're running the show, wasting our time, boring us with that kind of guy. He's an idiot, complete idiot. Any questions?
Well, Jim, I didn't know what he was going to say until I went to him, so.
I know, Paul, but you go on and on and on with those freaking people, and it's not good. You used to not do that. I don't understand you anymore.
I used to not do what?
Go on. When you saw a guy like that, you'd say a couple of words, and you'd let him go on down that road. You'd hit the button, Paul. That's what you'd do. I'm telling you, you weary people with that kind of crap. That's pure crap, that guy.
That's his Jim, that is his opinion.
We don't want to hear it. It's insane. Don't go to Bryce Hospital. Get those opinions. That's the same thing.
Okay, Jim. Thank you. Be careful out there on the roads. We are back. Still plenty of time for you to get in here if you would like.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.